Lou went on to become one of the most remarkable women of her age. After adopting the name Andrea Salome from her pet husband, a German professor, she was to have a profound effect on two other leading figures of her time, having an influential affair with the great German lyric poet Rilke, and developing an intimate friendship with the aging Freud. After wintering in Nice, Turin, Rome, and Menton, Nietzsche would spend his summers 1,500 meters above the world, and even higher above all human beings, in Sils Maria, a lakeside hamlet in the Swiss Engadine. Sils Maria is now a smart little resort, just 7 miles down the road from St. Moritz, but you can still see the simple room where Nietzsche used to stay and set up his medicine chest. Here the mountains rise sheer from the lake shore toward the snow-capped 13,000-foot peak of Mount Bernina, which marks the Italian border. Behind the house you can take the remote paths up the mountainsides where Nietzsche used to walk and think out his philosophy, pausing to jot down his conclusions in his notebook beside a lonely crag or a foaming mountain torrent. Some of the atmosphere of this region, the remote peaks, the sweeping views, the sense of isolated grandeur, creeps into the tone of his writings. When you see where Nietzsche did so much of his thinking, some of its faults and virtues become more explicable. For the most part, Nietzsche lived a life of utter isolation, renting inexpensive rooms, working continuously, and eating in cheap restaurants, while doctoring his blinding headaches and debilitating ailments as best he could. It was not unusual for him to spend entire nights retching, and he was frequently incapacitated for 3 or 4 days in a week. What's more, this rapidly became a permanent state of affairs, yet each year he produced a book of astonishing quality. Such works as The Dawn, The Joyful Wisdom, and Beyond Good and Evil contain superb critiques of Western civilization, its values and its psychology, as well as its hang-ups. His style is clear and aphoristic, and contains a minimum of loony ideas. This is not systematic philosophy, but philosophizing of the highest order. Many, indeed most, of the fundamental values of Western man and Western civilization were tested and found wanting. As he expressed it in his unpublished notebook, "Christianity comes to an end, destroyed by its own morality, which cannot be replaced, a morality which in the end is forced to deny even the existence of its own God." The sense of truthfulness, so highly developed by Christianity, becomes sickened by the falsehoods and mendacity of all Christian interpretations of the world and of history. It rebounds from "God is truth" to "all is false."